Thank you. Without further ado, would like to introduce Dad. And let's welcome him with a healthy hand clap.
Thank you very much. I am so happy to be back. Some things have changed. Number one is my hands are cold, Sister Barbara. They used to be all warm all the time, but not anymore. But I am so thankful for every one of you. I don't think there's a better group of people assembled as a church in the world as you. Who could have gone these 4 months without a pastor and listening to tapes? Sister Becky said you have a hard act to follow. I've listened to the tapes so that we could prepare and tried to add a little bit of an introduction. But I hope that this message will touch your heart today. I'm glad to be here to deliver it. And as I told Sister Becky, I may not be able to be here next week because the oncologist might put me back in the hospital for a week. But if not, as soon as I can, I'll be back, whether in a wheelchair or running the aisles. And as soon as I can get back on my feet, I am going to run as, it may be slow, but it'll be all I can do. But we're thankful for every one of you. Thankful for the food that you've brought to us and the prayers. Thank you so much. For Matt and Jan, they've come and visited me in the hospital and at home, and I appreciate everything you've done for us. And I pray God's blessing and God's miracles to lie on you and to just be such a strength to your life. Debbie has worked her fingers to the bone and then kept going. And I appreciate all she does. Hopefully this next week we'll have some more help and make it a little easier on her. I want to welcome Sister Becky to the board of Calvary Temple. I haven't been here since she was elected. She's the first woman to ever be elected to the board at Calvary Temple. And Gail fought for it years and years ago. She came into about every board meeting saying, you're doing wrong if you don't have a woman. And she got the word deaconess out of the Bible and thought that we ought to be inclusive. We are now, and we're thankful for Sister Becky to be the first, and I do not believe she'll be the last. We value, yeah, let's go there. We value everybody in this church, men and women and boys and girls. Appreciate the kids. We've increased, since I've been gone, our kids 50%. And what a delight to have Lydia with us and Andrew, wonderful. We appreciate you guys. And we love everybody. I don't know if there's anything else that but I do appreciate everyone and say thank you for carrying on. Debbie and Don and Audrey and Sister Becky and all you guys have done. But that's not just them, that's you too for being here. Everyone. Everyone. I want to tell you, this church is a miracle. And it's just one of many that we're looking for. We're thankful for Brother Don being off the breathing tube. Oh, that's a big step, and I know he's got a ways to go. But for everyone and every one of you that need a miracle, we will pray. For Michael, I get up in the middle of the night to do a procedure, and I'm praying for Brother Don, Michael, and then me, because I want to get up out of this chair like nobody's business. But I appreciate your prayers. There's been so many. I want you to turn to 1 Kings 18. I'm going to read a ton of scripture. And we'll try to elaborate some on it as we go along. This is a message that the Lord laid on my heart before I got sick. That was January the 31st. I drove Debbie and I to the hospital, and we were looking for anemia or maybe pneumonia, and instead they said, you have leukemia, ALL, I think is what it was. In other words, about a 30% chance of survival, which broke us down pretty much. But that was just the beginning. That first month of chemo was difficult. Debbie said, you were not with us for a part of that time, and meaning I was struggling with whatever. The chemo is, I've always said this, chemo is rough on people. It is rough. We had a couple rounds of chemo, and then I had pneumonia. So I've been in and out of the hospital. And then the big one, I went to the neurosurgeon, and he said, yeah, you need spinal cord surgery. So I went to Oakland for that for about a month. And then after that, after a week or two in intensive care, which was kind of like a resort because they took good care of me there. The nurse only had two people to worry about, and I was one that could talk. So the others generally didn't have much to say. And then I went to rehab in Vallejo, and Debbie stayed with my brother, which we're thankful for. And but now I'm back until Dr. Duty and my oncologist says what's going to happen next. And it's supposed to be one more treatment that should last for a while. And that's what my prayer is. So in the book of 1 Kings, did I say 2 Kings? Okay. So I was right, 1 Kings 18. This is talking about Elijah on Mount Carmel. So Ahab, let me pray first, because I'm going to kind of do some talking about this as we go along. Lord, we pray blessing upon your word. We understand this, that your word is eternal, and that every word has a promise for us. I pray that you'll bless this message. And although I'm going to have a reverse take on it at the end, I want you to bless it, to get the message across to Calvary Temple of how much we're loved and how much we've been promised your blessing and your strength. Anoint the word and anoint us to hear and anoint me to speak. And I pray that in Jesus' holy name. Amen. So Ahab sent for the children of Israel and gathered the prophets together on Mount Carmel. Someone told Ahab that Elijah wanted to see him. When Ahab's the king of Judah, and when he came, he said to Elijah, you're the one that troubles, or you're the troubler of Judah, of Israel. And Elijah said back to Ahab, not me, but you. In the spirit of Balaam, you have deceived and taken this people the wrong direction away from their God. And he said, Elijah said, call the people and the prophets of Baal together on Mount Carmel and let's see who's who. How long halt you between two opinions? Let's settle it. And then in verse 21, Elijah came to all the people and said, how long falter you? In the King James, it says, halt ye between two opinions. If the Lord is God, follow him. What does that mean? That means dedicate everything that you are to God and serve only God. We can't serve two masters. We will only be able to serve one master faithfully and completely. And if the Lord is God, then follow him. But if Baal, follow him. And I'm thinking, Elijah, come on, is that necessary to be equal and give Baal equal. But Elijah knew who was going to win this battle. Elijah knew what was going to happen. So he was just throwing that out. He knew God was God, and that there was no chance that Baal could accomplish anything. But the people answered not a word. Then Elijah said to the people, I alone am left a prophet of the Lord. Now this is what Elijah felt. There were some prophets left. God said later told him, said, I have 750 left. There's prophets. Elijah, don't worry. I got that covered. But Elijah was the only one out front. Elijah was the only one doing the prophecy and taking, risking his life. So Elijah said, I'm the only one left of the Lord. But Baal's prophets are 450. And there was actually a few more left than that that were assistant prophets or whatever. I think another 400. Therefore, let them give us two bulls, and let them choose one bull for themselves, cut it into pieces, and lay it on the wood, and put no fire under it. And that's a key. No fire, because we're going to prove who is the real God. No fire. Don't have a match with you. Don't do it yourself. But you let God, who is God, start the fire. No fire under it. And I will prepare the other bull and lay it on the wood and put no fire under it. In other words, I'm going to live by the same rules as I have told you. Then you call on the name of the Lord your gods. I want you to know this gods is in a small G, no capital. That's for our God. And I will call on the name of the Lord and the God with a capital G who answers by fire. He is God, capital G. Capital H, he is God. So all the people answered. Now they didn't say anything at first. But then now they said, okay, that's fair. It's well spoken. Now Elijah said to the prophets of Baal, choose you one bull for yourselves and prepare it first, for you are many, and call on the name of the Lord your God. But put no fire under it. Go ahead and choose, and you go first. There's a lot of you, and you're going to be taking some time. Elijah knew what it was going to take for him. Wasn't going to take much time. He said, you go ahead, you choose your sacrifice and you cut it up, it's all your choice, and put it on the altar, no fire. So they took the bull that was given them, they had the choice, and they prepared it and called on the name of Baal. Now get this, from morning till noon. I'd say that's at least 4 hours, may have been more. And they said, O Baal, how many knows you can call on a false god all you want to, and it'll do you no good? O Baal, hear us. But there was no voice. No one answered. And they leaped about the altar which they had made. And so it was at noon, Elijah mocked them. Elijah didn't mess around. He was stirring things up. And he said, cry aloud, for he is a god, with a lowercase g. Either he is meditating, or he is busy. Or he's on a journey. Maybe he left. Maybe he was like Elvis and he left the building. He's gone. Or perhaps he's sleeping and you need to wake him up. You must be awakened. In the last 3 months, I've been woke up so many times in the middle of the night 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning and said, "Are you sleeping?" What? I was sleeping. Now I'm awake. But they couldn't get Baal to wake up. So they cried aloud and they cut themselves. Isn't it amazing how pagans will go to such lengths, sacrificing themselves? Folks, our sacrifice was made by Jesus Christ on the cross. And we don't have to cut ourselves. We don't have to torment ourselves. We don't have to struggle and fight. We don't have to do battle. We don't have to do any of that. All we have to do is trust in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself completely on Calvary. They cut themselves with knives and lances, and their blood gushed upon them, out on them. When midday was past, they prophesied until the time, now listen to this, until the time of offering of the evening sacrifice. I think this is around 3 o'clock. It's in the afternoon, because they did a sacrifice in the morning and one in the afternoon. When it got about time, when it was time to really sacrifice to the Lord, when it was God's turn. So at midday it was passed, and they prophesied until the time of the offering of the evening sacrifice. But there was no voice. No one answered. And no one paid attention. Then Elijah said to the people, "They're done." Not exactly, but that's what he was saying. They're done. They've had all this time, and they haven't accomplished a thing. They're done. "Come near to me." So all the people came near to him. Now listen to this next line. And he repaired the altar of the Lord that was broken down. We need the altar. We've only got one. We've got two, but it's in the basement. And I don't know if we have room anymore, but we have an altar. Or we have an altar at your seat. Or we have an altar where you're sitting. If you bow at the seat, sit in the seat, there's an altar. You can pray in this church anywhere you want to and anytime you want to. We have an altar. This is Calvary Temple. This is not Judah in the time of Elijah. And he repaired the altar of the Lord that was broken down. And Elijah took 12 stones according to the number of the tribes of the son of Jacob, to whom the word of the Lord had come, saying, "Israel shall be your name." And then with the stones he built an altar in the name of the Lord and made a trench. Look at this. He goes into detail of what he does. And he made a trench around the altar large enough to hold 2 seahs of seed. And he put the wood in order, cut the bull in pieces, and laid it on the wood, and said, "Fill 4 water pots. 4 water pots with water, and pour it on the burnt sacrifice." The prophets of Baal didn't have to soak down their sacrifice and their wood and the area around their sacrifice. Elijah wanted to make sure that the people realized God was present. That their God was present, and that their God was trying to win them back. Their God was trying to prove to them that he was their God. Why? Because they forsaken him, followed Jezebel and Ahab in paganism and pagan worship. Why? Because that pleases the flesh. In other words, you do anything you want to, it's okay. And you're religious. But let me tell you, religious don't make it. Only born again gets the job done. And Jesus died so that we could be born again. And he told us we must be born again. So they took the water pots, they poured it upon the burnt sacrifice and on the wood. He said, do it a second time. And he said, do it a third time. They did it a third time. They did it a second time. So the water ran all around the altar, and he also filled the trench with water. So he had water everywhere, soaking down the sacrifice and the wood. Now, I was a Boy Scout for a number of years. If you want to build a fire, you don't soak it with wood, or you don't soak the wood with water. You just don't. We've had some damp wood. We've had some that was even frozen, but we sure didn't pour water on it. But they got it soaked down. Water ran all around, filled the trench. And it came to pass at the time of the offering of the evening sacrifice, the perfect time, that Elijah the prophet came near and said, Lord God of Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, let it be known this day that you are God in Israel, and I am your servant. Elijah knew who God was. Remember the seven sons of Sceva in the book of Acts? They went out and tried to cast out demons in the name of the Jesus that Paul preached, and the devils jumped on seven of them, chased them down, tore them up, ripped their clothes off, made them a mess. They said, we know who Paul is, and we know who Jesus is, but who are you? Who do you think you are doing something when you don't have the authority? Because they hadn't made the connection with Christ like Paul had. Jesus reached out to Paul, and Paul said yes and became one of the greatest servants of all. Elijah was a servant of God. He knew God. He knew what God would do. Ladies and gentlemen, you are a servant of God. You know what God can do. That's why when you pray, it's amazing and wonderful. It's so great that Don's got a touch already. Oh, I feel so strongly that God's going to continue on and minister to him. God is able. Let them know that you're God and that I am your servant and that I have done all of these things because you told me to at your word. Hear me, O Lord. Hear me, that the people may know. This is a miracle to convince the people that you are Lord God and that you have turned their hearts back to you again. In other words, Lord, this miracle is to establish your power amongst the people, and they're going to have to repent. That's their only choice. They turned away from you, and now if they're going to turn back to you, they're going to have to repent. Then the fire of the Lord fell and consumed the burnt sacrifice. I'm going to tell you something. My spirit is touched by this miracle. The sacrifice was what was to be devoured, and full proof who was God. The sacrifice was consumed, and this is extra, and the wood and the stones. I'm no scientist, but wood, no problem. That burns. That burns. Stones, in my business, if we put stone over a surface, we expect no fire to penetrate. Stucco, rock, whatever. But the stones and the dust. And listen to this. And it licked up the water that was in the trench. Oh, when God sends a fire, it takes care of everything. Takes care of everything. Now, when all the people saw it, they fell on their faces and said, the Lord, He is God. The Lord, He is God. I was going to read verse 40, but I'm going to skip it because It talks about Elijah killing the prophets. You know that. And what's important, I want to leave it with the Lord, He is God. These people turned from Baal. Did it last long? Probably not, but it was for this moment, the realization of the people. In the book of Revelations 2, talks about the spirit of Balaam, the doctrine of Balaam. And God said, you've got to repent. The spirit of Balaam was deception of the people of Israel. The deception, reaching out to their carnal lusts and causing them to sin. And the verse 20 through 22 talks about the woman Jezebel, who also seduced the people of Israel and pulled them away from God. This is Elijah the prophet getting them back. Now, if Elijah were here today, he wouldn't say to Calvary Temple, how long are you going to halt or falter between two opinions? He would say, you have followed the Lord Jesus Christ. You've done everything that the Lord expects of you. But remember, your God is still a God of miracles. But your miracles are not miracles of proof of who He is. You know Him. You know Jesus like Elijah knew God. You go at the word of Christ like Elijah went at the word of God to go on the mountain, to have authority, to present the power of God and to expect the fire from heaven. John the Baptist says, Jesus will baptize you in the Holy Spirit and with fire. You followed the Lord. Your miracles are miracles of mercy and grace, like the song says. There's healing in this house. You don't need the proof. Our focus and our commitment is completing God. And whatever God does in our lives is because of His grace. He doesn't have to prove anything to us. We accept Him and we worship Him. And there's such power in worship. I've always believed this and I believe it still. There's great power in worship. We've got to continue that. What I pray for our church is that the Holy Spirit would reign in every service and would fall and bless everyone. There's a song that I used to listen to a lot, Reign, Jesus, Reign. And it's a beautiful song. Lately, I've been listening a lot to that one, There's Healing in This House, because I desire that for before I was sick, I wanted Calvary Temple to be the healing place where people can be renewed and restored, where the brokenness and brokenheartedness, everybody has a hurt, everybody has an issue, but Jesus is our balm. Jesus is our healing. And when your heart is broken for someone else, the Lord is able to comfort your heart and touch those others that you're broken over. America needs the message of not halting between two opinions. America needs to turn back to Jesus. The church in general, and I don't want to point out any specific church and say, oh, this church, that church. There's many churches bigger than us, and some of them don't even preach the Word of God anymore. They tell nice stories and try to make it easy. They do what they call seeker-friendly, and I'm not interested in that. I want to see others added to our church, but I want it to be a real experience for them. And I want to be a church that offers something that is a blessing to everyone who comes here. Everyone. I want to see the promises of God come now, delivered from our sick bed. I can't tell you the many times I've looked at the scripture where Jesus comes to Peter's house. And Peter's mother-in-law was sick. And Jesus prayed for her, and she got up off of her sick bed, and she began to fix things and prepare meals. But later that evening, Jesus prayed for everybody that was there, and God brought healing. So thank God for his healing and delivering power. Thank God for what we have to look forward to, the miracles of mercy and grace. Debbie, would you come to the piano? And I'm going to turn the service back to Don in a minute because he's going to lead prayer. But if you'd come to the piano, I want us to raise our hands as best you can. The reason I say that is because I've been wobbly. If I'm sitting and I can reach forward and just kind of fall over, that's the nature of my spinal surgery thing. But in the chair, it's pretty good. I want you to raise your hands. I want you to spend just a moment. Let the Holy Spirit touch your life. Holy Spirit of God, minister to our church. Lord, like the song says, they were in the upper chamber. They were all with one accord. When the Holy Ghost descended, as was promised by our Lord. Oh Lord, send the power just now. Oh Lord, send the power just now and baptize everyone. Lord, send your power upon us. Send your power upon us. Bring blessing to your people. The power of your Spirit. The release, oh Lord, of the fire that comes with the Holy Ghost. Lord, and touch everyone. Refill, fill brand new. Lord, let us be touched by that Spirit of yours. By that Spirit of yours. Jesus, you said, I've got to go that the Comforter comes. Give us the Comforter, the Teacher. Every day, day after day, moment after moment, fill us with your presence and your Spirit. And let us be wise as we acknowledge who you are and worship you in the power and the truth of your word. We honor and give you glory. We honor and give you glory. Elijah was preaching about rejection of lust and return to truth. There's a lot of lies out in the world today, like I said, even in some churches, about what it takes to be saved. But it's only through Jesus. As Audrey read the scripture out of John a while ago, I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. There's no other way to get to God except through me. That's our message. That's who we are. Donnie will call you for prayer. And I appreciate your prayers for me, everyone. I appreciate every bite of food we've had. In the early days, I couldn't taste much, couldn't eat much, but I'm back. I can taste and I can eat. Donnie, bless us with prayer for the needs of the people.
Well, I wanted to have a chance to have anyone who wanted to be prayed for healing now to come up. And also that we lay hands on Dad, because it's the first chance we've had as a church to do that. We've been praying, obviously, all this time at a distance. And so we want to take the opportunity. I can do that. I didn't set that up, but I can do that. Thank you.
While Donnie's doing that, I'll just let you know that the healing that I need is for my spinal cord to heal. And the doctor said all of those nerves need to reconnect. So some have connected, and there's things I can do now that I couldn't do when I first started rehab. I can raise up in the chair. I couldn't raise up anywhere in the beginning. But that's one of the miracles. I need everything to connect. Mine is an incomplete wound from the spinal cord injury. And I keep telling them, injury, nothing. It was surgery. But it was kind of an assault to that area.
Now we've got music and we're all free to come up and pray. Is there anyone else that would like to come up for prayer? Feel free. We'll start praying for Dad. Heavenly Father, we pray, Lord Jesus, this morning as we put our hands on Dad, Lord God, for your healing in his body, Lord, as we prayed these many months, God. We believe that you are willing and able to heal, Lord. We believe that you are willing and able, Heavenly Father, to put strength into his legs, Lord, to heal his spine, to remove the leukemia permanently, Heavenly Father, and lift him up out of his chair, off the sick bed, and onto his feet, Lord God. We pray by your Holy Spirit, Lord God, in the name of Jesus, Lord, your healing over him today, Lord God, that you come upon him in power and strength, Lord God, that your Holy Spirit fill him from the inside, and that everything, Lord God, that isn't right be made right, Lord God. This morning we pray in your holy name, Jesus, for strength and power to come, Lord God. Thank you, Jesus, for your strength. Thank you, Jesus, for your power, Lord God. Thank you, Father God. We pray this morning and we thank you for all that you have done since January, Lord God. All that you've done over these months, Lord God, to preserve his life and to preserve his mind, Lord God, and to bring him back, Heavenly Father, from unconscious, Lord God, for days upon days, to be here with us, to minister to us this morning your word, Lord God. We're so thankful and give you such glory and praise for what you've done, and we ask for more, Lord God. We ask for healing. We pray for your healing, Lord God, that you strengthen him from head to toe, top to bottom, inside and out, Lord Jesus. You are so able and so willing, Lord God, by your power and strength to heal. We ask it in your name, Jesus. We thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Heal, Heavenly Father, Lord God. And we pray, Lord God, coming into this next week and his meeting with the oncologist, Lord God, that your spirit reign, Lord God, and that your healing reign, and that you direct their steps, Lord God, that you direct the treatment, Lord, and have your will done and be all over that, Lord God, this coming week and in the coming weeks, Lord Jesus. We ask for strength at home. God, as mom and dad deal with the challenges, Lord God, that they face every day and every night, that you give them in strength and endurance, Lord God, to get through each of those steps, Lord God, and that you attend to each of those needs, and that you hear the cries, Lord God, for help, and that you minister in strength and power to those needs, Lord Jesus. And we pray for mom, Heavenly Father, that you strengthen her, Lord God. As she's working hard with dad home, Lord God, that you give her strength and endurance and meet the needs that come up. Provide solutions and answers for every problem, Lord God. We thank you, Jesus, for your strength that mom's had over these months, and just pray that you continue to provide. Continue to give her strength and endurance, Lord God, but ease the burdens, God. Ease the burdens. Ease the burdens in your name, we pray, Jesus. In the holy name of Jesus, we pray. We pray for Don today as well, Heavenly Father, that you lift him up. Heal his body, Lord God. Strengthen Sister Sharon, Heavenly Father. Strengthen their bodies, Lord God. Heal Brother Don, we pray, Jesus, Lord God. And Brother Artine, we pray for healing in his body, Lord God. Strength in his bones, Lord God. Lifting him up, helping him with his breathing, with his dialysis, his kidneys, Lord God. Bring strength and return him back to this place. We want to see Brother Don back here. We want to see Brother Artine here and Brother Henry. We pray that you strengthen Henry
Jesus.
We pray for your healing in his body, Lord God. Your healing in his body, Heavenly Father. And we pray for Sister Frida, Lord God, this morning. Lord Jesus, that you heal her body, that you strengthen her body, that you minister to all the needs, Lord God, and all the needs that she's facing, Lord God. We pray that you heal by your strength and power, Lord, we pray, Jesus. We thank you for your healing. We thank you for your faithfulness to this house. We thank you that it's a healing house, Lord God. We thank you for your healing, for your spirit, and for your presence, Jesus, this morning.
Mercy.
Thank you, Lord Jesus, we pray, Heavenly Father. Bring healing, Lord God.
Mercy.
Bring your healing, bring your spirit, and cover this place with your strength and healing, Jesus, we pray. Thank you, Jesus. We worship your name, Lord God. We worship your name. Thank you, Jesus, for the opportunity to pray for Dad in person, Lord God, after all this time. We're so thankful that he's able to be here to minister to us in person, Lord God. Thank you for that blessing. Thank you, Jesus.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, Lord Jesus. And Lord God, we pray your blessing over the food today.
Thank you, Jesus.
God,
thank you, Jesus.
We thank you for the opportunity to fellowship with one another, Lord God. We pray that for any that can't be with us, Lord God, that you go with them, Lord God, as they go out this week and strengthen them and be with them in each one of us, Lord God. And pray your blessing over the prayer service as well, Lord Jesus. We pray, Lord God, that you just direct and anoint us today with your spirit and love. In your name we pray, Jesus. And we pray, Lord God, this morning, Heavenly Father, for Sister Watson, Lord God, that you strengthen her, Lord God. And we pray for Mike,
yes,
Lord God,
Jesus,
that you touch his body,
in your
Lord
name.
God, your healing flow in his body, that you bring him home from that nursing care facility, that you touch his lungs, Lord God, and his heart.
Jesus,
and deliver him, Lord Jesus, in your name
mercy,
we pray, God.
Mercy.
You are so able and willing, Lord God, to heal.
Holy
and we
Jesus.
Thank you for your healing in advance, Jesus, for each
Holy
one of these
Jesus,
needs, Lord God. There's
Holy
so many
Jesus.
In this church that need your strength, God. And we pray, Lord God, that you touch Sister Watson this morning, Lord, with
mercy,
encouragement and strength.
Mercy, Lord.
And Becky
mercy,
and the whole household
Lord.
As well,
Jesus.
Lord God. We ask for your healing and we ask for your anointing, Lord Jesus. In your name we pray, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.
Jesus.
Thank you, Lord God.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, Jesus.
Huh?
I hope your jacket smells good.
It does. Thank you. Bless you. Appreciate you so much. Appreciate you so much. Well, thank you. I appreciate that. I'm a little rusty, so it'll take a little time. And by the way, my hairdo is because of chemo. And I don't know if the next round's going to do the same thing. I'm kind of hoping to get a run on this and get some hair back.